We're having a Nationals pre-event on Wednesday night. It's going to be a massive cage wrestling tournament with the Redemption Elder Group, determining who has to judge Booster, because we are all very excited about playing it this year.
I am. I'm so excited. This is fun.
Obviously, there's a major spoiler alert here, so if you don't want to know the new cards until you open them in packs, you should probably stop listening right about now.
Welcome, everybody. I'm John.
I'm Gabe.
And this is Justin.
And we are here to bring you the Persecuted Church set. This is going to be the full reveal and our impressions of the cards as it pertains to drafting for Booster. So if you're listening to the podcast on the way to Nationals, be it by car, boat, or aeroplane, you will be able to have a better draft experience. If you're unable to make it to Nats, you get to live vicariously through us. So we're going to go ahead and go through these and start with the commons, then move to the rares and ultra rares. We're doing it this way because you're going to get more commons in your pack than rares and ultra rares, so we feel this is going to be more beneficial information to have right off the bat.
All right, we're going to take turns going through these cards. We are going to tell you our opinion of them, and then we're also going to give them a rating 1 through 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. If you were to get a rating of a 5, that means that card is a bomb. You definitely want to take it. And if you get a rating of a 4, that's a card that you're most likely going to take, especially if you're in that brigade. It may even put you in that brigade, but it's something you're strongly going to consider.
Anything at 3 is kind of that middle of the road. If you're already in that brigade, awesome. You're fantastic there. Otherwise, you might want to consider looking at something else.
2s are going to be cards that you probably draft at the very end of the pack. Only take them if there's nothing else there. And then 1s are going to be cards that you probably don't want to draft. And if you end up having to use them in your deck, then your draft probably didn't go so well.
Very first card, numero uno, Letter to the Philippians. This is an artifact. It may be activated on Ephroditus. On activation, you may increase a Philippi hero 2/2, 2 strength, 2 toughness. Once per turn, if your Philippi hero begins a battle and you control a missionary, each player may draw 1. It's definitely very thematic. One thing to note is just that you're only going to be getting 4, maybe 5 early church cards in your draft. So if you're going to try to go for a Philippi theme like that, it's going to be a little tricky depending on what other people are picking up around the table. I personally give this a 2 for that reason.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree with the 2 on that. There are a pair of common ladies that work really good together in Philippi. If you happen to see those at your table, this card would be really good. You could probably let this card go around the table once, though. I doubt if anybody else is going to grab this one.
Yep, I agree as well. This is only a card you would take if you happen to get a Philippi hero. And again, you can probably let it go around and draft it pretty late in the pack.
Alexandrian Ship is a fortress, it says, placed to the set-aside area and holds any number of captured humans. The special ability reads, each upkeep, if you control a centurion or an Egyptian, you may transfer contents to any land of bondage. Definitely a fun card, and as we'll find later, there's an evil character that searches for this. And the ability to transfer the contents could potentially give you a soul, but you have to have an Egyptian or a centurion, and the likelihood of having all those things come together for you in a draft, probably not real strong. So you'll be able to capture a hero, have the right type of character. I'm going to give this probably a 1 for draft.
I'll go a little higher. I'll give it a 2. It's worth noting, it plays a set-aside area and it holds any number of captured humans. It takes any number of your captured humans out of your land of bondage, which removes them as rescuable targets. They're no longer in an area that they can be rescued from. So that is a potential benefit in allowing you to be a little more free with your capture abilities, knowing that as soon as your next upkeep hits, or preparation, I guess, technically, you can move those characters into the ship and no longer have to defend them. I like the ability to potentially generate a soul. It's content, so you might be generating more than 1 soul, which you might not want to do. But it's definitely a versatile, potentially really good card. I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, if you have a decent amount of capture, it definitely gets better.
Yeah, I'm gonna split the difference on those, so I'll say 1.5. I feel like I would not use it unless I had two capture cards and at least two of the Egyptian and the Centurions. I don't like doing the one for one unless it's just an amazing ability. So I'd want to have at least a couple capture options and at least a couple characters that can trigger it.
Tartaros. Did I say that right? Tartaros? I don't know, however you say that. It plays to the set-aside area and also holds any number of demons. It reads, if your demon is discarded or captured, you may hold it here instead. If your demon wins a battle, you may underdeck a demon from here. It really depends on how many demons you've drafted at this point. I would probably give this card a 2, just based on the fact if you've drafted a decent number of demons, there are most likely going to be priest packs available in our draft at Nationals. You could have seen some solid orange stuff. There's also some decent orange stuff in the Disciples, the Persecuted Church, the Early Church. You could have some demons to make this work. If you don't, you don't want to take this card.
Yep, I agree. The nice thing with this one is it doesn't specify orange demons, so you might pick up a demon in older packs and not an orange demon. Sometimes those come in handy. But yeah, I agree with Gabe that this is definitely a 2, where if you've got some demons, you're going to take it. But again, it's probably a card you can let go around, because it's probably not going to be picked up by anybody else at the table.
I'm actually going to go a step lower. I really don't rate this any higher than a 1. It's just way, way situationally. You have to be playing demons, and even then, you have to win a battle. And then it only puts it under the deck. I just don't see it being of much use in you getting that blocker again during the game.
That's fair, John. That's probably accurate.
All right, the next card on the list is a clay site, Jerusalem. The special ability negates site access on New Testament humans. If a New Testament lost soul is rescued from this site, capture all rescuing human heroes. This can be pretty good. You can obviously choose the testament of the souls you use in booster draft. If no one's using clay, or only a few people have clay, then this obviously can be used defensively to kind of restrict who's able to rescue it. Sites are always tricky in booster draft. I tend to sometimes use one or two, and sometimes I don't use any. It kind of depends on how the draft goes. So I'm going to give this card a 3. The negating site access isn't going to be too big of a deal. Most of these site access heroes are Old Testament anyway. The ability to capture a strong hero that might be running over the table in booster draft could come in handy. So I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 1. Just this is a kind of more of a personal playstyle preference and the way I think people should be playing booster. I don't want to lock a soul away and then have somebody only be playing clay and that being the only play that can get it. I believe very strongly in soul distribution. I think it's going to be somewhat tricky for somebody to rescue a soul from that site. Most people don't tend to play a ton of site access in booster, so that hero that I'm capturing is probably not going to be one that's running ramshot all over the table.
I'm going to give this card a 2.5. I like having sites in draft because you can somewhat control who has access to your soul. If the guy in the lead doesn't have the color of your site, you can hide that soul away and hopefully keep it out of his reach. If one of the players that's behind does have your brigade of your site, you can put the soul in there to guarantee that that player is going to get it. You don't have to defend against the other players. Negating site access could be good. It could shut down some other players. The thing about that is that there are some clay cards that are going to give your heroes site access. You may not want to be negating your own site access. If you have some of those heroes, then you don't want to play this card.
Nero's Realm is a silver site with the identifier that it is Roman. Its special ability reads, protect this site from Romans. If your Roman Emperor blocks, you may discard a New Testament captured character. I like this one a little bit better than Jerusalem. I'll go ahead and give it a 1.5. Again, I don't draft sites when I play booster. It's as simple as that. The ability is decent. The ability to discard any New Testament captured character, if you can discard one, from the guy sitting next to you so he no longer has any souls on the table, that's good. I'll grant that. Its ability is easier to trigger than the last site. So it's definitely stronger. I might even go a 2. I'll go a 2 on this one.
I'm going to go 2.5 again. I like sites for the reasons I explained on the last card. I also like this site with the interaction of the Roman Emperors. There's a good chance you could draft a Roman Emperor in any of the card boxes. We get ultra rare Emperor Nero, In card boxes, we see the Faith of Our Fathers and Rock of Ages 10s in the card boxes as well. And there's a number of Roman emperors we could pull that would make this really useful.
I'm going to give it a 2, simply for the fact that silver is a little more prevalent in booster, although that does depend somewhat on the packs that you're drafting with. I think with the clay site, it's a little more restrictive to the number of heroes, but overall, kind of the same thing. I do like to play sites in some booster decks. It really depends on how my draft goes. So this is a card I will take if there's nothing else good in the pack, and then I might put it in my deck depending on how much defense I do or don't draft, because I would basically consider this a defensive card.
The next card is Lost Soul, and it is New Testament. It says, if this card is put in your territory, you may exchange it with a New Testament Lost Soul in your deck. Very unlikely you're going to want this in draft. Typically, there's not going to be anything you really want to go after with this. It's going to be great for Constructed. I really like this when playtesting, but in draft, I'm probably going to give this a 1.
Can I give it a 0? I mean, maybe it's useful if you drafted a new test, like the hand discard Lost Soul 2, maybe?
That's a starter deck card.
That's a starter deck card. Never mind. 0.
Yeah, probably a 1. The only thing that I can see it being useful for is if you also draft a New Testament-only Lost Soul. Those are pretty common in the Treasures box pack. So if you get one of those, maybe you restrict who can go after it. But yeah, this is a 1. The only reason you're going to draft it is if you don't have one already.
Yeah, if you want to use this for your deck, you might draft one towards the end of the pack just to keep. But this is for your Constructed deck, though, not for your draft deck.
All right, next one we have is another Lost Soul. This is also a New Testament Lost Soul. Special ability, if you put this Lost Soul in a site, you may capture a female human. In terms of booster draft, I'm probably going to give this a 1. Even though I like sites, there's not a ton of female evil characters or heroes that I'm terribly worried about that I want to give myself another Lost Soul that people can rescue against me in booster. Typically, you want to be generating souls to go after for yourself, and this is going to have the opposite effect. So I'm going to give this a 1. I'm not even sure I'd put it in my deck, even if I did draft it.
No, I agree. I'm going to give it a 2 on premise of artwork. It's got a sweet dude holding a dagger. He looks very mysterious and awesome. So I'll give it a 2 for artwork, but a 1 for playability.
All right. I didn't know we were rating these on artwork. I'm going to give it a 1.5, just based on the fact that I would rather have this than a generic Lost Soul, especially if I have drafted even one site. There's a very slim chance I might use it to capture that female. Highly unlikely, but there are situations where it could matter, and it's better than a generic soul. I am taking this late in the pack if I take it at all.
Next card up is a hero, Saint of Virtue. He is 8 offense, 2 defense. He is clay and red brigades. He is a warrior class generic hero. His ability reads, you may negate and discard an evil enhancement, top deck an Armor of God enhancement from discard pile, and he cannot be prevented. This guy's cool. Definite 5 on artwork, if we're going to keep rating those. As far as playability goes, 3, 2.5-ish, somewhere around there. The ability to negate and discard an evil enhancement is less useful in booster than it is in constructed, but I can still see situations where somebody randomly drafts A-bomb and decides to pick on you and place it in your territory. I can see situations like that where it's useful. His numbers are really nice. That 2 defense, if you've drafted a few really good enhancements, you're going to get those off. So I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, I think I agree with a 3. Having a high attack is definitely a bonus. Warrior class is a bonus. 2 brigades. Probably not going to use the discard, negate and discard evil enhancement. But there is a chance you're going to have an Armor of God, whether it's one of the ultra rares from Kings that was opened in a Kings pack. I believe you can even get those in Early Church because there's some Kings cards in there.
Yes, you can.
I do like the ability to possibly recur one of those if you've used, especially if you were lucky and got one of the multi-brigades. I'll give him a 3.
Yep, I'm going to agree with a 3. And I even think that it's the negate and discard, especially with Red and Clay's ability to ban. You might get some banding cards in those brigades if you happen to be using those. You banned him in after they've already played an enhancement. You just got yourself a negate and discard, which definitely helps in boosters. So I had really looked, yeah, thinking three, maybe borderline 3.5. I just, heroes in general in booster are good. Multicolor heroes, even better.
Yeah, I like your point about the banding, Justin. There are a decent number of banding enhancements in those card boxes. I remember seeing a lot of Battle Cry.
Battle Cry is pretty.
There's a couple clay cards that are going to band as well. I like that point. That could come in useful.
It's worth noting, however, that unless you already have an interrupt, you're not going to stop any battle winners with him. But you could stop something like a prepped great image or something.
Yep.
Even getting rid of enhancement with big numbers, I mean, a lot of times it's going to win you the battle and booster draft.
Yeah, I like your 3.5, Justin.
I do too.
Next, we have Paladin. His numbers are slightly lower on the attack and up one on the defense. He's a 7-3. He's also clay and red and warrior class. Like the previous card, he's generic. This particular character has side access. He can discard a demon with a toughness 4 or less, and you may play an Armor of God enhancement. I find him a little less useful than the Saint of Virtue. Slightly smaller numbers, but not significantly. Side access could definitely come in handy. Discarding a demon, kind of hit and miss. You really can't rely on that.
Especially with that toughness restriction on there, that's going to be tricky.
Yeah, if there's Angel Wars packs, you're likely to see a Panic Demon, which makes that so it's at least going to hit something. But how useful is that? I don't know. I'd say I'd probably give this guy a 3. I don't think he's quite as good as the last card.
Yep, I agree with 3. And most of the time, heroes in booster draft are going to be at least a 3, at least in my book. You can't have too many heroes, I feel like. Just that's kind of one of my booster draft drafting philosophies.
I agree with that. A hero
is a lot more valuable in most every case than any other card. So if there's a hero with any kind of decent special ability, I'm probably grabbing it and hoping I can maybe pick up a card or two to play on him.
For sure. I mean, heroes as a general rule, especially with abilities, are basically guaranteed at least a 2, 2.5 rating. I mean, hero stealing is the way to go in booster as a general rule. This guy, I like him. The ability to play an Armor God enhancement would be a little more useful on him if you picked up like the King's versions and whatnot. But even those aren't great for playing pre-block, but it does get you a little bit extra numbers on the top.
All right, next one we have another hero. This is a Christian Soldier. This is actually a female version. Her numbers are 6 offense and a 5 toughness. She is also clay red, warrior class, and generic. Her ability is you may search deck for an Armor of God enhancement, cannot be interrupted. Again, like the other heroes they've discussed, I'm going to give her a 3. Obviously, her value goes up if you happen to draft an Armor of God enhancement, whether it's from the Kings or from Persecuted Church, even Warriors, if you happen to get a Warrior's Armor of God. So, like the ability to search, kind of speeds up your deck without potentially drawing souls. Always a good thing in booster.
Absolutely. I totally agree with 3. Just for the body, the deck thinning's nice. Her being female does help a little bit with a couple different battle winners you might run into. Beheaded is a common one with the Disciples packs floating around.
Yep.
So her being able to dodge that is a bonus in my mind.
Yeah, I would give her a 3 unless you have drafted an Armor of God. If you got one of those Kings or, as Justin mentioned, Warriors Armor of God enhancements, I would actually probably give her a 4. So that rating is going to be fluid based on what you've already drafted.
Yeah, but again, you're probably not passing a hero unless your brigades have absolutely nothing to do with the clay or red.
It is worth noting that all of those characters have another character they can band to them. So depending on what all you've picked up, their value could be increased dramatically there also.
Yeah, that's true.
Next card up is Word of Christ. It is a good enhancement. It has 3 attack and 2 defense. It is clay and white brigades. It has an identifier that it involves music and that X is equal to the number of musicians in battle. Its special ability reads, if you control a clay hero, negate an evil or neutral card, hero ignores up to X evil brigades in battle, or you may draw X with a limit of 3. This card cannot be prevented. This card's awesome with a lot of contingencies on it. It's really good if you picked up a few musicians earlier on. It's unfortunate that the best musicians come out of the tens, but you can definitely still pick up a few here and there. If you have any number of musicians, this card is a definite four. But if you haven't picked any up, it's probably closer to a two. The negate is really nice if you're in clay. Negates are really strong in booster. And if you can get those other abilities to go off, you're sitting really pretty.
Yeah, I agree with that. If it's a card in your that you've drafted stuff already that fits, you know, whether it's musicians or you've gotten some clay heroes, this card is definitely, you know, in that 3 to 4 range. But if you don't have any of that already, this is a card you're just going to keep passing. You know, maybe if you had some white but they weren't musicians, you've got some more numbers. But yeah, I'm definitely going to pass this card unless I actually have clay or white.
I'm going to probably give this card a 3.5. I do like the fact that we have priest packs. There's a few common musicians we can pick up there. Even if you don't have a musician, this is a really solid negate. The ability to negate an evil or neutral card is really strong. You have to control a clay hero for that to work, but you're not going to take this if you don't have clay or white. If you do have clay, this is a really great negate. And there's going to be a number of card boxes drafted at Nationals. At least two of those, Disciples and Treasures, see a lot of unholy writs in those. And the ability to negate that writ when somebody plays it on you is a really strong play. There's not many cards that do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to mention the unholy writ thing as well. It's the neutral card aspect is really strong on that. Also, I mean, Magic Charms is floating around too. Not as frequently, but there's a lot of good targets for that negate.
Yeah, I forgot about Magic Charms and those Treasures packs.
The next one on the list is Endurance of Job. This is a good enhancement. It is clay blue with numbers of XX, and it is territory class. The X in the identifier is equal to the number of evil brigades on opponent's cards. So that is cards that they own and control. The ability, opponent must underdeck an evil card from hand or territory. If used by Job, opponent must underdeck X cards from hand and or territory instead. This is an interesting one for booster draft. I'm probably going to give it a 2. Here's one of the things in booster draft is when I'm going after someone, I'm hoping they don't block me. You know, it's kind of the first thing. And if they are, I don't necessarily want them to use all their evil against me. So I'm always hesitant to force someone who might have, you know, two evil cards to play and knock them down to one, because then that one's going to get used against me. And then the next person that goes after me is going to walk in for free. So the XX is pretty good. You definitely see a lot of multi-brigade defenses in booster. You know, people are, you know, maybe drafting a couple different brigades, have a couple different characters in play. So the XX is good for the numbers. So if you're running clear blue, this could come in handy. But I think this is going to be a lot better card for constructed. I'll give it a 2 as far as a rating.
I agree. I definitely agree with Justin's philosophy as far as how you want to control the table. The XX is really nice, especially when you consider that it's right up the wheelhouse for peace. You can be playing blue or clay and be playing both of these cards, Endurance of Job and Peace, and have a really nice toss ability there. If you picked up Job out of your priest pack, then I can see a situation where you say, I don't care about controlling the table. I'm going to wipe this guy out. The souls are falling the right way draw-wise. I'm going to pick up more souls by taking this guy out completely than my opponents will be able to. So I can see that situationally, but it's still probably a 2 in that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're playing it on the player to your right, so the player who's drawing right before you, I can definitely see that working to your benefit, where they're going to draw souls and you're going to have the first chance to go after them. Yeah, so yeah, obviously the rating goes way up if you do happen to get that Job.
Absolutely. That's a rare card, though, so the likelihood of that's pretty slim. But if you get him, I'd probably even give this a 4 if you have Job. Otherwise, I agree with the 2. All right, the first common armor of God is Shoes of Peace. It is clay and red and blue. It is territory class, and like all armor of God enhancements in the persecuted church, it has the identifier that it is an armor of God. It also says X equals the number of your armor of God enhancements. And this one can be placed on a clay, red, or blue New Testament hero. and that hero has sight access. If the hero enters battle, reveal the top X cards of opponent's deck, put Lost Souls in play, and underdeck the rest. This card's really situational. It depends on whether or not you have any other armors, if it's going to be good for your deck or not. It really also depends if you have the clay red or blue New Testament heroes. Because it's so situational, I'd probably give this a 1.5 overall. If you see some other armor, or if you've already got some other armor, if you have the New Testament heroes in those brigades, just the fact that it gives you sight access alone is pretty decent. Sight access can come in really handy in booster draft. Despite our preference with using sights, I play against a number of people that use sights and end up locking people out at the table, so having access can be really good. Still probably give this a 1.5 unless you've drafted other armor, in which case I would probably give it maybe a 2.5.
Yeah, my rating would be somewhere similar in there. The sight access is definitely nice. I think it could come in handy when you're not showing any sight access, and so someone puts Lost Souls in a sight, thinking they're going to lock someone out, and then all of a sudden you kind of spring the shoes kind of out of nowhere. It could lead to a freebie walk-in Lost Soul. The reveal is definitely very situational, but Soul Gen is definitely a big part of booster draft. Even if you do get just one other piece of armor and you have it in play, that's revealing two cards off the top of an opponent's deck. And if you're being soul drouted, that could be the difference between winning and coming in second, third, fourth, I guess.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd probably give it a soft two. I'm not going to draft it. I'm going to let it go around the table a couple times. But if I do end up with it, I'm not upset that I did by any means. It has a lot of abilities that are situational, but it has a lot of those abilities. It has the reveal, it has the sight access. Also, potentially, depending on what your opponent is doing, if you know what their top card is and you can underdeck it, like if they had David's Harp or something and they just put their TSA back on the top, getting rid of that seems good to me.
That does seem pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a card I'm going to put in. Obviously, if I have those brigades and I just need to get some more cards into my deck, It's not the worst card to have for how situational it is.
Next up, Helmet of Salvation is a clay red teal territory class Armor of God enhancement. It shares that same identifier, where X is equal to the number of Armor of God enhancements. It reads, place on your clay red or teal NT hero, protect hero from black, capture, and opponent's dominance. While heroes in battle protect up to X Lost Souls from opponents' cards. This is a 4. This is a hard 4. It's almost a 4.5 in my book. Just the number of unholy writs that are flying around, the number of magic charms, the potential for your opponent to have a grapes out of his treasures pack. It protects from so many things that I consider it almost a must-draft card. If there's a really strong hero, maybe I take that first. Otherwise, I'm looking really strongly at this. Not to mention that its secondary ability is really good, too.
Yeah, there are a number of cards that protect Lost Souls in this set alone. There's a lot of heretics that can target Lost Souls, as well as the Death of Unrighteous that we often see in card boxes. Being able to protect from that is pretty good. That being said, I think a 4.5 is pretty high for this. I would probably give this one a 3 myself. The likelihood of somebody getting the grapes is probably not that high. Capture is really strong, and there's a lot of capture. Overall, it has some useful abilities, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking somewhere between a 3 and a 4 for me. It very much depends on what I've drafted for heroes or what I've sensed other people are drafting. If I feel like this card could come back around, I'm probably not going to spend a first pick on it. But if it's maybe in the last pack that I see in that round, I might not see it again until the last pick of the second round. I could maybe take it first round, but yeah, again, it's very situational on what heroes I've drafted and what other cards are in that pack. So I'm definitely between a 3 and a 4.
Sure, I definitely get. I mean, heroes are obviously important. I just think that capture protection is really, really strong on that.
Yeah, it's true that a lot of the battle winners and for defense and booster are capture cards. There's a lot in Apostles packs, and then obviously with Apostles, they're also in the Treasures and Disciple packs. You get a lot of those capture battle winners. So it captures probably, I'd say, the most common defensive battle wind that you're going to face in booster drafts. So certainly, I mean, if you've got, you know, even two of the heroes in any of those brigades, that's probably a card you want to take.
Yeah, I agree with that, Justin.
The next one is a clay hero, Archippus, or Archippus, however you want to pronounce it. He is a 7-6 clay hero. He is territory class, and he has the identifier from the Colossae Church, Church of Colossae. His ability, if a heretic is in play, clay enhancements with Christ or Jesus in the title or scripture verse used by Colossae heroes cannot be negated by an evil card. I'm going to give him a 2.5, maybe a 3. Very situational. Obviously, he's works very well with other Colossae heroes, which you're not guaranteed to get, you know, with only having a few early church cards. But again, he is a hero, and he's got some pretty good numbers. He has territory class, so that helps if you have maybe a smaller clay hero who gets better initiative. And then obviously you need to draft some battle winners with Christ or Jesus in the verse, of which there are plenty. But he's very situational. Not an amazing hero, but again, he's a hero.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's very situational, not to mention that a heretic has to be in play. And granted, we are opening, you know, disciples, early church, and persecuted church, there's going to be heretics floating around. That doesn't necessarily mean that one's going to be in play. So in order to get the best use out of him, you're looking at, you know, 3 or 4 other cards of your own. A heretic to trigger him, a low number Colossae hero to actually get the benefit off of him, and then the enhancements. So I give him a 2 because he's a hero. I don't see his ability actually coming through that much. If it does, it's going to be awesome. It's a lot of stones that have to fall the right way.
I agree. He's pretty situational. He's got decent numbers for a hero. I'm probably going to give this guy a 3. If you have drafted battle winners with Christ or Jesus in the title or scripture verse, I'm probably going to go as far as giving this guy a 4. I think it's pretty likely he's going to be triggered if a heretic is in play. As John mentioned, there's several packs we're drafting that have heretics. There's a lot of them in this set. And the likelihood of somebody at your table having a heretic is pretty high, in my opinion. There's a lot of strong heretic characters, and I think people are going to draft them. They're going to be playing with them in their deck. So even if you don't have one yourself, which obviously you prefer to have one of your own, but I think there's probably going to be one in play at some point during the game. The real situation that matters here is, do you have an enhancement with Christ or Jesus in the title that can't be negated on this guy? I believe there's even a couple negates. The
Word of Christ that we talked about earlier.
Yep.
Word of Christ, yeah.
I believe that there's one from early church, Commitment of Paul, maybe, is what it's called.
Yeah, I think that has Jesus in the scripture verse.
It has it in the reference. Unity in Christ, I believe, is a rare enhancement from early church that has that. There is an Ignore in the early church set. Ignore is an evil character in battle, I believe, that has Christ or Jesus in the title or scripture verse. But there's a number of cards that work well with him. If you have one of those, he's good. Otherwise, he's just a hero.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely taking him if I've gotten one of those enhancements. So maybe if you've already drafted one of those enhancements, maybe he becomes a 4. And then I'm probably going to look to pick up a heretic myself, maybe later in the pack if I'm able to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next hero we have is also a Colossae hero. I'm going to say her name as Afia. I could be pronouncing that wrong, but she's a 4-5. And she also works with those Christ Jesus cards that we were just talking about. You may exchange a clay card in hand with a clay enhancement in discard pile with Christ or Jesus in the title or scripture verse.
She is a Colossae hero, so she does work with the guy we just talked about.
She's a Colossae hero. These two work together very well. If you have drafted one of those enhancements, she's going to recur them. And like we mentioned, there's negates and battle winners there. So those are enhancements you like to get back. It depends on what you got in your early church pack, though, as to whether or not you're going to want to take these guys. But they can work really well together. They're both commons. If you happen to get both of these and even one of those enhancements, you could have yourself set up for some continuous rescue of souls that would be pretty strong. I guess I'm going to give her probably a 2.5. Unless you have one of those enhancements, I'm going to give her 3.5.
Yep, I completely agree. I can range from 2 to 4 on her. If you haven't picked up anything to go with her, she's a hero. That's a two automatically. But if you have even one other piece, if you have the enhancement, or if you have the guy that's going to grant the CBN status and then can pick up an enhancement later, she immediately jumps way up in value. Her numbers are pretty good for getting an initiative to play those. They're not amazing, but I can definitely see it working fairly well if you manage to put all those pieces together.
Yep, I pretty much agree with everything that those guys said. Nothing really to add as far as that. I think she's she's in that 2-4 range, depending on how many of the pieces you have.
Next guy up, I'm going to pronounce his name as Epiphras. He is a 3-4 clay colossi hero. His special ability reads, you may search deck or discard pile for a colossi hero, may band to a colossi hero, cannot be negated if Paul is in play. This guy is got a lot going on. He can recur a hero. He can thin your deck and generate a hero. And then he can band to the hero that he just went and got for you. So he's definitely strong. I'll give him a 3. If you picked up any other colossi hero, he instantly gives you a lot of value there. Banding tends to be very strong in booster. And if somehow Paul gets in play with Paul floating around in both Treasures and Disciples box packs, I mean, you see Paul somewhat frequently, I'd say, in booster.
And I usually tend to see Paul and Unholy Writ in the same pack.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's just the way they get sorted into him. But he can definitely gain that CBN somewhat easily, I'd say.
I think he's even stronger because if you consider the missionaries, if you draft Epaphras and a missionary, you've got another colossi hero. And there are definitely some powerful missionaries, as we well know from early church, that we'll be getting some more, I believe. Are there any missionaries in Persecuted Church?
No, I don't think there's any missionaries
here. Okay, so, but if when we're drafting early church, as well as Persecuted Church, we've got a lot of strong missionaries that are going to be on the table. Banding is a win in booster draft.
Just to clarify, in order to gain that church identifier, the Colossae identifier, you would need to have 2 Colossae heroes in play with most missionaries because it needs to be the church you have the most of. So most other missionaries have a church identifier. For example, Peter's a Jerusalem hero, but he's also a missionary. So if you had 2 Colossae heroes, he would then be part of the Colossae church as well. So it might take 2 of those, but banding to any number of those missionaries is really strong.
Even banding him to Archippus from earlier, getting you CBN negate playing with 2 decent sized dudes in battle. A lot of numbers, a couple negates flying around.
Yeah, 10-10 numbers with those 2 together.
All right, our next card is Onesimus. This is a clay hero. Numbers are 2-4. A territory class hero, also from the Church of Colossae. Ability is if your Colossi hero is captured, release it after 2 turns. If Philemon is in the field of battle, protect Colossi heroes in your territory and lost souls from opponents. I'm probably going to give this hero a little bit on the lower end, probably around a 2.
I agree with that.
If you're captured, yeah, you get it back after a couple turns, but the odds of it, not being rescued on someone else's turn in a multiplayer booster draft game.
Especially with 2 rounds, that's an eternity.
Yeah, you're probably not going to see that hero again unless it's very early in the game. If Philemon is in the field of battle, that's pretty situational.
And he's a rare.
And he's going to be a rare, so you're unlikely to get him. So I'm putting this hero on the low end of heroes, giving it a 2.
Completely agree.
Yep.
The protect lost souls aspect is potentially nice, but again, that Philemon has to be in battle. And he's good. You're going to, when we get to him, you're going to be excited, but it's just very, very situational with not much benefit out of it.
Overall, I agree. This is a small hero. He's not that useful in booster, but he is a hero. The one thing I can see where this guy would be really good is if you have the Archippus, or whatever we call him, and you have one of those Christ Jesus cards that work with him. This is a small guy that's going to give you initiative from the Colossae Church. So his value goes up a little bit if you have those other combos in there. But without those, he's just small and not very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Clay has a lot of battle winners, especially early church and persecuted church. So there is some value there. But if you haven't been drafting clay or you don't have any battle winners aren't going to come around. People are going to pick those up pretty quick. So you pretty much have to get a battle winner in your first pack or two, I would say, in order to have some value there.
Yeah, battle winners are going to be scarce and go quick.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Next one we have is another clay hero, the Ephesian Mentor. This is a 6-6 clay hero from the Church of Ephesus. Special ability reads, you may search deck or discard pile for an Ephesus hero, may ban to an Ephesus hero, cannot be interrupted. Pretty decent hero, got some solid numbers. The banding is obviously good. You need another Ephesus hero, and it's a cannot be interrupted ban, which I think gives it even a little bit more of a boost in terms of value.
Absolutely. I mean, it's basically the carbon copy of Epaphras from Colossae, except for the Ephesus church. So, I mean, if you see both in a pack, just kind of pick what church you already have or whatnot. But definitely very strong. Banding A+ in my book.
And Ephesus heroes, we get a couple of those in the early church pack as well. I believe Apollos is an Ephesus hero.
He absolutely is.
And Timothy's only a 1-1, but he is an Ephesus hero. Sometimes just getting two heroes in battle can be good.
Yep. I'm giving this hero probably a 3, and then with the potential for, you know, for a 3.5 to a 4, if you've already been able to draft an Ephesus hero. You know, Apollos is a huge hero, and that just...
With a good ability, no less.
Yeah, with a good ability. So if you manage to get Apollos, if you've already drafted Apollos for sure, this guy, you know, is definitely a 4 if you've already gotten a hero like Apollos.
Absolutely. Especially the ability to go get him from the deck and get him set up, or to go get him from your discard pile if you're one of your opponents managed to do something from that. So those two cards in concert, yeah, real good.
If there's Apostles packs in your draft and you have the Apostles Timothy, which is one of the worst heroes in the game, in my opinion.
Not one of the.
Does this suddenly make him playable, though? You can search for him and ban to him.
I think it does because it basically turns him into an enhancement for the Ephesian Mentor. I mean, he's
a 4-4 white enhancement.
He's basically like Timothy becomes an enhancement that you get to use over and over, and, you know, banding in numbers win booster draft.
I think Timothy would increase if he win the battle. He could increase 3-3, and he could start rescue attempts.
As long as he doesn't ignore himself, I still don't know how that one quite works. So.
Hey, we found a card that makes Timothy worth playing. Maybe.
Maybe. That's a 5 in my book right there.
Well, you could get an Apollos from the Apostles pack. Wouldn't be clay, but...
But still good numbers.
Right. Yeah, big numbers.
Big numbers, yeah.
All right. Well, here we're on a guy that we also don't know how to pronounce. We're going to call him Onesiphorus.
Sounds good to me.
He's also an Ephesus hero. His numbers are 3-5. He's clay. And he has an identifier that says X equals the number of your missionaries. His special ability is site access. If you control another Ephesus hero, you may draw up to X. Limit 3. Cannot be interrupted. This guy's going to work great if you have missionaries. If you don't have missionaries, he's not that strong. Drawing cards is always a good thing, in my opinion. But I'm probably going to give this guy probably a 2. And unless you found some missionaries, if you've been pulling missionaries from those early church packs, then I could probably bump this guy up as high as a 3. Side access, again, can be good. He does have an issue if you drafted some clay battle winners. But those are a lot of things that really have to fall in line for you for this guy to be worthwhile.
I agree with Gabe. Definitely a 2 if you have picked up a missionary. You know, that draw is potentially nice. You do have to also control another Ephesus hero. So you're looking at a couple different pieces falling in place. But I can definitely see some situational value.
Yeah, 2, maybe 2.5. As always in Booster, it's dependent on what you've already drafted so far and what you end up with. But he's not a hero that I'm going to pick over most other heroes, I would say, if there's other heroes in the pack.
Next card up is Ephesian Widow. She is a 2-2 clay hero. She is territory class. She is also generic. If you somehow manage to pick up 2 of her, way to go. She is from the Ephesus Church. Her ability, if you put an Ephesus hero in play from your hand, you may search discard pile for a good enhancement with a convert ability. I want to rate her highly. I think I have to go with a 2 just because it's going to be somewhat tough to time it with your Ephesus heroes. You're not going to have all that many of them. You may have needed to use them for rescues earlier. If you do manage to set it up well, going and getting any number of clan hands. There's like six clan enhancements that convert people. There's a ton of those. If you have one of those and are able to recur it, that's really good. I just see that as being a little tricky to set up.
Most of those converts are common too, not to mention there are converts in other brigades that you might be playing. It doesn't have to be a clay convert that you return to your hand. But like John said, setting that up is going to be tough. She would trigger when you put a missionary into play if you have enough Ephesus heroes. But again, that's tough to pull off to have enough Ephesus heroes to make your missionaries turn Ephesus.
Yeah, I think in Constructed, she's amazing. But for Booster, it's going to be a little trickier to get her to work the way you want.
She is a great initiative hero if you grafted certain battle winners for your clay heroes.
Yep, I agree with the two. This would be a very late pick, even for a hero. I'm probably, you know, I'm even going to take a decent defensive card before I would take this hero. Unless, you know, and there's always the, if you've got a couple Ephesus heroes already, obviously her value goes way, way up. But that's still pretty unlikely, you know, based on how many early church cards or persecuted church cards are actually being drafted. Next up, we've got another clay hero. This is Paul's nephew. He is a 1-3 clay hero. He has the identifier Jerusalem from the Church of Jerusalem. He also has X equals the number of Jerusalem heroes in play. Special ability, look at opponent's hand. Protect X lost souls from evil cards. Cannot be negated if Paul is in play. I am a huge proponent cards that look at the opponent's hand. I believe it's one of the strongest abilities in the game. I'm going to give this guy a 3. I think he's, even though he's pretty small as far as numbers, the ability to look at your opponent's hand to know, you know, if you've got a clay battle winner, you want to look at your opponent's hand to find out if you play that, if they have a negate. Because if they do, I'm probably just going to let him die and let my opponent play that against somebody else and not waste my battle winner. So I think that look at opponent's hand is extremely valuable. If I've got any kind of clay in my deck already, I'm definitely going to add Paul's nephew.
I agree. 3 is right where this guy is. His numbers are a little rough, unless you're holding a handful of battle winners, and then you might want that initiative. His Protect Lost Souls is, again, like we talked about earlier, is really good. There's a ton of stuff that messes around with Lost Souls. So even if you only have, you know, one or two other Jerusalem heroes, that's really, you know, all you need. If you can protect one, you know, it's not Rescuer's Choice. It's probably not going to be one that's going to be locked out from you somehow. So if you can protect that one, you're guaranteed to get that soul.
Yeah, you know, you need to really protect one.
Right.
And it's number of Jerusalem heroes in play, not your Jerusalem heroes. So if other people have Jerusalem heroes, you know, they've got a Peter, they've got other disciples, that's going to be even better. It's not dependent on you having Jerusalem heroes. So it's even a bit stronger in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. He gets a 0 for artwork. We changed the artwork on him, and it was a terrible change.
It is better than my senior picture, which was on the old one.
No, it's not. It was awesome.
Yeah, Gabe almost had his picture in 2 cards, but we could let him get away with that, so we changed.
The Generous Givers. This is a 10-10 clay hero. He is from the Philippi Church. He is beefy. His special ability says, each player that controls a missionary may draw 1. May ban to a Philippi hero, a Thessalonica hero, or a missionary. The guy's huge to start with. He gives people the opportunity to draw a soul. If your opponents have a missionary and they choose to draw off him, that can be useful. And he also gives you the opportunity to draw if you've got any missionaries in play. The ability to band to multiple different churches, Philippi or Thessalonica, not to mention a missionary. We're drafting early church, we're drafting persecuted church. Even if you don't have a lot of those, they're going to be on the table. Other people are going to have them. And the ability to band when you're already 10-10 is huge. This guy's going to rescue a lot of souls. I would probably give him a 4. I like him. I'm going to take him early. I think he has a lot of synergy with both what I might be playing and with what other people are going to play.
Absolutely. Broad bans are, yeah. I mean, banning is already awesome with it being so broad, 2 different churches and a whole slew of missionaries. The other card that we see a lot in box packs is Red Peter. I feel like every time I draft, I see a Red Peter. So Peter's a missionary. That's another 10-10 dude. You come at me with 20-20 numbers, I'm probably not blocking that.
Yep, I'm going to give this guy a 5. And I think unless there's another 5 in the pack, I'm probably taking him, even if I haven't drafted any clay to that point, because now I'm going to add this 10-10 hero. I'm going to try and add maybe 2 or 3 clay enhancements, even if they're just basically numbers. If their abilities aren't going to do much, I don't even care. I'm just going to add those numbers. Maybe try to pick up a second clay hero just so I'm not, you know, going one hero with 4 enhancements. I usually like to keep, you know, a couple heroes for every couple enhancements for any brigade that I'm playing. But yeah, I would go ahead and give him a 5. I just, the banding and with the big numbers is just that good. And I would think I would only pass him if I had another card in the pack that was also a 5.
I totally agree. Not to mention Letters of the Philippians that we talked about, very first card, bumps him up another 2-2. I'm sorry. 12-12 dude. 14-14 dude. He just keeps getting better.
Yeah, and you'll probably get that artifact coming around late. You might get it in the second or third time around the table.
All right, next one on the list is another clay hero, Clement. He is an 8-8 clay hero, also from the Church of Philippi. This guy's cool. While all of your human heroes are Philippi heroes, negate enhancements and characters except Philippi heroes. All right, so we've got, for the first time in a long time, a somewhat fight-by-the-numbers hero. Now, in Booster Draft, very unlikely that all your human heroes are going to be Philippi heroes. This guy is a beast, and constructed a dedicated Philippi deck is going to be a viable strategy from the get-go. In terms of Booster Draft, though, his ability is probably not going to come into play unless you draw him opening hand, and then you might just run the table. He's an 8-8, though, so I'm thinking Booster Draft somewhere between a 2.5 to a 3.
I totally agree. I definitely give him a 3 on his own merits. If you draw him opening hand, awesome. You know, if you picked up Angels or something and you know, pick him up and you decide to do something wonky like Angels with Clement, he can be good in that situation. If you open hand Generous Givers Clement, good game. See y'all later. I mean, if you already have Generous Givers, Clement is also a 4.5 because those two put together 18-18, negating all your stuff. Yeah.
At that point, you're not putting down any other heroes that are not Philippi. You're just discarding them because you don't need them because you've got Generous Givers and Clement and good game.
Absolutely. I would probably bump this guy up to, I'd give him a 3, but I would bump him up as high as a 4. Also, just based on another character we're going to be reading here in a moment that has the ability to search out Philippi heroes, also a common. If you have drafted this guy and that particular card, then he suddenly becomes a lot more useful. As you guys mentioned, having him at the beginning of the game when you haven't set down a lot of heroes and you can make sure they're all Philippi, he's really, really strong. You put him in your deck and you have him late game, he's still an 8-8 clay hero, and that's not bad. Mm-hmm. So I would give him a 3, depending on what else you've gotten, as high as a 4.
Also, props for artwork.
Yeah, he does look like a studly guy that's going to go out there and fight by the numbers. He's pretty tough. He's a man's man.
Next up, we have a female clay Philippi hero. I'm going to choose to pronounce her name as Uoidia. She is 5-5. She increases, you may increase another Philippi hero 1-1 to prevent Old Testament enhancements. 2 ranging to 2.5, maybe even as high as 3 if you already picked up some other Philippi stuff. Preventing the Old Testament enhances is nice. There's a lot of stuff like Death of Unrighteous is Old Testament. Scattered is Old Testament. We're not drafting Scattered, John. Never mind.
There's
10 cards. Never mind. I knew that I'd seen Scattered in Booster Draft before. Good. I'm not crazy. That's good. So anyway, she negates a decent number of enhancements, not all of them.
But you do have to have that other Philippi hero to increase. If you have that hero, you do want to increase them, probably.
Especially if it's Clement.
Especially if it's Clement.
Yeah, I agree with the 2, 2.5. I think somewhere in there, again, the value goes up when you draft another Philippi hero and then have to have them both in there. As Gabe mentioned, we're about to get to another hero that kind of helps in that process. But, you know, it all depends on what cards you're able to get that also go along with this particular character. So pretty pretty specialized in terms of an ability. So yeah, two and a half.
Yeah, I would agree with probably a 2.5 on this, unless you have the next card, and then I would give her a 4. But it really depends on what else you're able to pull.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of the next card, another character whose name I really don't know how to pronounce, Syntyche, maybe?
That's what I was going to go with.
All right.
Consensus.
She's a 5-5. She's a Philippi hero. She works really good with some of these other Philippi heroes. As a common, I'm probably going to want to take her pretty high. I would probably give her a 4.5. Just based on the other Philippi heroes that are common, that hopefully are going to be coming around the table. And it really depends on what else is in my pack, though. Here's what she does. She searches your deck. You may search your deck or discard pile for a Philippi hero and put it in play to increase it 1/1. May ban to Oida, the previous card we just read. Oida and Syntyche, I can't say your name. They can't be interrupted. So she's going to search out your Philippi hero. She is going to go get the Generous Givers. She is going to go get your Clement. She's going to go get your Oida. She's going to increase them, and things are going to be beautiful. So she's definitely a high pick for me because of all these other strong, common Philippi heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably a 3 for me. She's similar to, you know, the Ephesian Mentor, Ephifras, all those guys. They're all along the same veins. They're going to get you speeding up, get you your church affiliations going. She's a little bit more limited in who she can ban to, but if you can pair those two, you've got decent numbers in battle. They're kind of interrupted. You're pumping the one probably 1/1, and then the other one's going to pump the other one 1/1. So you're going to increase the two of them back and forth and get a lot better numbers eventually. And then that little mini negate component. So in general, very strong. Obviously, any other Philippi hero, great. But especially that Oida, that combo there is very good.
Yeah, and you could get Oida in the Apostles pack. She was a reprint. I believe she's a green hero from Apostles.
Yep.
Clay green has great synergy. So if you happen to pull that, you know.
I thought she was gold. Okay. Is she green?
She's green.
Is she blue?
No. Syntyche is the blue one from Apostles.
Okay. Syntyche's so blue. She's Oida's green.
Yeah. Oida's green.
All right, next one, we have another female hero, Claudia, a 5-5 clay. A lot of people have used the old Claudia, the blue 5-5 from the women's set, and now we have a new version of Claudia. Claudia is a Rome hero. She has an identifier, or an X. X equals the number of clay heroes in play. So not just your clay heroes, but all clay heroes. Her ability is reveal the top X cards of your deck and add any clay heroes to hand. May ban to a clay hero. Cannot be interrupted. This is a good card. 4, 4.5.
Yeah, any, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Any clay hero, not just yours, cannot be interrupted. There's going to be a lot of clay heroes on the table, especially in this booster draft. Obviously, if you're not drafting early church and persecuted church, you know, there's going to be fewer clay heroes, but particularly in this booster draft that we're talking about at Nationals, where we got both box packs potentially, at least that's the plan. This is going to be a really strong hero. I'm probably taking this with my first pick, unless there's just a ridiculously good card. Even if I'm not playing clay, I'm picking her up just for the banding.
Yep, banding A+, and it's not limited to any church. She's a greeter. She goes out. She don't care who you are. She'll band to you. CBI banding, even better. And then if you are already in clay, you know, somewhat heavily, the ability to just look at the top X, I mean, you could add 5 cards to your hand. I mean, obviously that's, you know, the really good outlier, awesome scenario. But even still, I mean, getting that many cards out of your deck is good.
Yeah, if you're in clay already, I'd say that's almost borderline 5. Like, there'd be very few cards I would take over Claudia if you're already in clay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very strong, very high pick.
Just like the old Claudia.
Yeah.
Just like the old Claudia.
Next card, Snake into the Fire. This is a 3/4 clay enhancement. Special ability, interrupt the battle, remove an evil enhancement, or a non-human evil character from the game. I'm going to give it a 3. Negates in general, I tend to value somewhat highly in Booster. There's not a whole lot of CBN stuff going on. It's got pretty beefy numbers to it for an enhancement. So even if your character's only 5/5/6/6, that negating whatever your opponent played is probably going to give you the numbers to win the battle right there. If you do happen to run into a demon or two or a beast, are there any beasts that we can draft in these? I'm sure there are.
There's an animal. You could get the Maltese Viper.
Yeah, you could. You could get the Maltese Viper.
You could run into Leviathan, and he is not human.
He is.
Those are in card boxes.
I've run into Leviathan, to my dismay. Why the fish?
Absolutely. So, 3.
Yeah, I'd probably give this a 3.5. I like the big numbers. I like the ability to negate, and situationally, even win the battle against a demon, a fish, or a snake.
Yep, I think I'm going 3.5 to 4. If I'm already in clay, I'm taking this card probably with the first or second pick. Yeah, definitely a very strong enhancement.
Yeah, if I'm not in clay though, I'm probably not taking this. This is a card I'm going to rate high if I'm in clay. If I'm not, it's a card I'm going to pass.
Absolutely, totally agree with that. It's not going to put me in the brigade.
Next, we have Mercy of James, 2/2 enhancement, clay brigade. Negate and discard an evil card.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
And it has Obi-Wan Kenobi in the artwork. This is a solid battle winner. Negate and discard an evil card. That's when you discard the evil character. If they banned it and it can be negated, you're going to negate the ban, get back to just that initial character, and discard them. Really strong card. There's a James in this set. It's a rare. If you were fortunate enough to get James, then this becomes way better. But as it is, this is a strong card. If you're in clay, you want this. If you're not, this is going to make me strongly consider trying to pick up a clay hero to go with it. I would probably give this a 4. It's going to make me consider going into clay for this battle winner.
Yep, I'm right along there. 3.5. Negate and discard is obviously really strong. It's kind of like a mini Samuel's Edict. We all know how strong that card is. It just, loses a CBN aspect, obviously. But yeah, it's very strong. I don't know if it would put me into clay just because of how late you're drafting it. I wouldn't trust my ability to pick up, enough clay heroes to make it worth playing. But if you were to do something weird where you draft the boxes first or something, draft this and then early church, you mix it up somehow, I could maybe see it putting me into clay. But considering that this is the last set of cards you're seeing, I don't think it's quite there. If I'm already in clay, oh yeah, absolutely. But I don't think it's quite there to put me into the brigade.
The bulk of the clay cards in this set are clay heroes. There's a lot of heroes and a smaller number of enhancements. So I think it's pretty likely that there's going to be a couple clay heroes coming around the table in your Persecuted Church pack. If I took this in the first round as one of my first cards, maybe I would jump into clay. Otherwise, I agree.
Yep, I'm with Gabe on that. I think it's a 4. In most booster drafts, battle winners are just at a premium, and if you get a solid battle winner like this, I'm going to want to pick up a hero. And even if I only have one clay hero and Mercy of James, I might be willing to go with that, just depending on how the rest of my draft went. Next up, we have another clay enhancement, reprint of Wisdom, a 2/2 clay enhancement. Convert a human evil character to a clay hero. Your Ephesus hero may ban to that character to discard a heretic or an idol. Cannot be prevented. So we got a lot of stuff going on here. First off, it's a battle winner. Convert a human evil character to a clay hero. That right there is pretty good in itself. If you happen to have the Ephesus hero that's playing this card, your Ephesus hero can then ban to that character. So if you're facing a couple evil characters in battle, it's even better. If you're facing a heretic, then you're in even better shape. The heretics do have some banding abilities, so you might be able to take out a couple of characters at once, take out an idol that might come in handy, but obviously the biggest part of this card is the conversion. Being a battle winner cannot be prevented. Yeah, I'm going to give this a 3.5.
It's worth noting that another one of those box cards that we see a lot is Household Idols, and with people knowing that there's a ton of banning going around, I tend to place somewhat of a premium on Household Idols. I like to draft that card somewhat early out of boxes, just because I know it's going to shut down a lot of what my opponents are trying to do. There's so many characters in this set and the other sets that have banned abilities. So because this is CBP, you can get around House Idols and even discard it. So that gives it a little bit of a bump in my book. I'm definitely in that 3, 3.5 range.
Yeah, I'd probably give this card a 3 unless I have Ephesus Heroes, and then I would bump this up to probably a 4. And this makes me really like that 2-2 Ephesian Widow that we saw earlier. I have the ability to get it back because it's a convert enhancement, and she has great numbers to play this on.
Next up is Created by Christ. It is a 1-1 territory class clay enhancement. Each player must reveal the top cards of deck until that player has revealed a hero, an evil character, and a lost soul. Each player must put one of each in play and shuffle the rest. I don't know quite where I rank this card. I feel like it's really good and I really like it. And then I consider the symmetry of it and say, well, I don't really want to give my opponents heroes and evil characters. I do like the Lost Soul generation in Booster, being able to put a Lost Soul into everybody's territory so I can pick on whichever opponent has the least defense is really nice. Obviously, generating another hero for myself is really good. So I want to put it at a 3, but giving my opponents potential blockers is the sticky point for me. Not to mention heroes. It's really good when it works, but if they hit, you know, their two bomb characters, it feels bad. So I'm going to give it a 2.5.
If I'm not already in clay, I'm going to give this card a 1. I don't want it. I'm not going to get clay in order to use it. If I do have clay, I'm probably going to give it a 2.5 or a 3. A lot of times in a booster draft, you're sitting there and you're waiting for somebody to draw souls. And the order the souls come out oftentimes make or break the game. You can have the best deck at the table, but if your opponents aren't drawing souls at the right time so you have a chance to get them, you don't have a chance to rescue them, you lose. And this can change that for you. This is going to get 3 souls on the table, so it can give you that chance to rescue when you wouldn't otherwise have one. If I'm in clay, probably going to take this mid to late in the pack.
Yeah, this card, it feels like it should be a really good card, because soul generation is so important in booster draft. But when you think about what you might potentially be doing, a lot of players tend to be more offense in booster draft, and then it might be a while before they get an evil character, so they're going to have a chance to get their top heroes, whether it's a banding hero, whether it's a fight by the numbers hero. You're going to give them most likely a lot of chances to get to their top heroes, and if they don't have a lot of heroes, then you're going to help them. So yeah, I think I'm with Gabe. If I'm not in clay, I'm not taking this at all. I'm not going to even consider picking up a clay hero. If I am in clay, gosh, it feels like such a gamble. So depending on how much you like to gamble, I guess that could affect your thoughts.
You feel lucky.
Yeah, you feel lucky. So I don't know if I need to add a few cards to my deck just to get it to 50 or wherever I want to be, maybe, and then maybe I wait till I absolutely have to use it in order to generate a soul to go after. That's maybe when I want to use it. So, yeah, it's hard to put a number on it just because of the gamble factor, I feel like.
Next card up is another clay enhancement. It is territory class. It has no numbers, and it is called Healings in Malta. It has a very short, straightforward ability. It says, heal any number of humans. I'm going to give this card straight up a 1. It's definitely not going to put me in clay. I'm probably not going to deck it. I'm not a big fan of healing. That being said, it's one of the better healing cards we've ever printed. It has some great combo potential with certain cards that are out there and constructed, but in a draft, this really isn't going to make the cut in my deck.
I'm going to give it a little bit better. I'm going to go 2, 2.5. If I have the opportunity to pick this card, maybe middle of the pack, you know, kind of a I like that it can heal evil characters. If I'm not running a whole lot of those, but the ones I do have, are evil characters that are going to help me make a few blocks. It's probably not, again, I agree that it's not going to put me in clay, but if I do have a clay hero or two, I probably would add this, you know, being able to keep my heroes away from something like Great Image or someone trying to take out my heroes and there's you know, they're not protected by anything. I have a healing card. Could come in handy. So I'm going to put it in there if I've got, you know, I'd say two or three play heroes.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Gabe. It's kind of in that one range for me, but I'll give it 1.5. It's not a card that I draft, but if it comes to me as the last card in the pack, or maybe like the second to last, I can see playing it. It does have a lot of situational functionality. For instance, my opponent is sitting over there, player A to my left, has three souls out there and one big bad evil dude, let's say Emperor Nero. So player B goes at him and plays Edict and discards the Nero. I know that guy didn't have anything else because I just looked at his hand or something. I can heal his Nero so that he can block player C. So I like it in that aspect of helping out on my opponent's defensive, assuming, of course, that I have a way to deal with Nero when it gets back to me. So it has a lot of flexibility, but again, it's not something I draft, but I'm not unhappy if I end up with it either.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also like the fact that you can save your own heroes or evil characters after your opponent bans to them and kills them.
While leaving theirs dead, no less. Two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another clay enhancement. This is a reprint of One Mind. It's a territory class enhancement. Place in your territory. Banned abilities used by clay heroes cannot be negated.
It has no numbers.
No numbers, yep. Sorry. No numbers, just a straight place enhancement. Like we've been talking about, banned is a winning strategy in booster draft, but this is only for clay heroes. So if I've got a clay banding hero that I've already drafted, I'm definitely picking this up. If I see this in a pack, I'm not going to take it early hoping to get a banding hero because those are going to probably go pretty quick. I'll give it a 1.5, but then, you know, with the condition that if I do have a clay banding, either hero or enhancement, the CBN is a winning play. And if it's a hero, that's just gonna, you know, could potentially give me some freebie lost souls.
I definitely look at it as a one. I wouldn't ever draft this card only because, yes, banding is awesome. Yes, CBN is potentially awesome. A lot of the clay heroes in this set, more than the last one, that banned are already some form of CBI or CBN. Claudia, Syntech, whatever we're calling her, and Ephres and Ephesian Mentor are all CBI or CBN. So to me, it's just kind of doubling up on that. I don't really need it. And if I am playing one of the banners that doesn't have a CBN ability, I'm not going to take this just to give it that. It's just not worth it in my book.
Yeah, for me, it really depends on what I've drafted. If I have some banding that isn't already CBI or CBN to go with this, I might try and get it later in a pack. I would rate it a 2.5 in that case. Otherwise, I'm probably going to give this a 1, and I'm just going to keep passing it to the next guy.
Next card up is Stronger Than Min. It is a 2-2 silver enhancement. Its special ability, hero ignores all blocking human evil characters. I'm going to go ahead and give this a 3. It won't put me in silver if I'm not already there, but I really like ignore as a battle-winning ability.
Me too.
Because it leaves the evil character there to block the next guy. What more can I ask for? I get a soul, and my opponent gets to stop the next guy? Yes, please. A+ in my book. It does have the caveat that it has to be human, but I think the majority of stuff you're going to see is probably going to be human, so it's probably getting you a soul 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I like ignore and withdraw for battle-winning abilities in a multiplayer game because it leaves the opponent's defense there to fight somebody else, and this is definitely a battle winner. I would agree with 3, maybe even as high as 3.5. If I'm in silver, I'm definitely going to grab this one fairly early in the pack.
Who is still a hero and be a 5.
This was misprinted on our list for just a moment as a hero. 2-2 silver hero that ignored all blocking human evil characters.
Yeah, we thought that was a little too strong. If I'm in silver, if I have any number of silver heroes in my deck already, I'm definitely grabbing this pretty early. I don't see myself passing this to Battle Winner. Again, we talked about how scarce those can be. I also feel it's silver heroes are not that hard to come by, and they have they get around the Unholy Writs, the magic charms.
Stone of the Bezes.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with putting a silver hero or two in your deck, and you got a pretty strong Battle Winner to play on them. So, three point five for me on that one. Next up, we have a dual alignment enhancement, Roman Spear. This is a 5/0 red gray dual alignment enhancement. It is a weapon class enhancement. Special ability character has first strike. Protect captured characters from opponents. You may discard this card to decrease a human of opposite alignment 0/5. This card is cool. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of flexibility. It's, all around good. First strike, 5/0. That's monstrous, especially in booster draft. Defensively, if you happen to be running gray, you can decrease a hero by 0/5 using it as evil. Just a lot of good stuff here. Yeah, if I'm playing red, this is definitely a first pick, I would say. So I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm not quite as sold on it. I really like it. It's a great card. Enhancements for me have got to be really, really good to get 4s. It's definitely a 3. It goes really well with the spiritual warriors that we listed off earlier. They're all warrior class. They're all common. You're probably going to end up drafting one, if not two of those, just because there's like 6 of them. So they're going to be going around. They can all hold it. So it's nice on them. It's also nice coming out of your hand, not playing it as a weapon, but just coming out of your hand as a battle winner to play it and discard a human, or potentially discard a human if they have less than 5 defense. So I like it with its abilities there. For the first strike to me is, it's nice. It's not anything super special for me. So 3.
I like the versatility of this card. Even being able to protect captured characters from opponents. If there's a captured character you're going after, it guarantees they're not going to do anything to get rid of that guy. There's a lot of ways to remove captured characters. First strike can be really strong in a draft where a lot of the battles end up being by the numbers. And I also like the ability to decrease a small guy as well to win the battle. Decrease, there's not a lot of protection from that. So very versatile card. If I am in red and gray by chance, then I'm going to rate this a 4 without a doubt. I would probably give it a 3 otherwise.
Alrighty, next card up, we have another dual alignment enhancement. This one is green and gray. It is Paul's Belt. It is territory class. Ability is relatively straightforward. Capture your hero or a hero in battle to opponent's land of bondage. This is another 3 for me. It's got a lot of versatility. I don't necessarily want to give up my own heroes, but generating a soul in booster is very good. It allows you to pick who you're going against, pick on the weakest player. It's a soul that theoretically, if you do it right, you know that you are going to get, not one that you're just randomly generating willy-nilly for anybody at the table. And then obviously it has defensive functionality as well as a battle winner. It is not a battle winner on offense, is worth noting, but it is a good card. I could even see 3.5 for it.
Yeah, I'd probably give it 3.5 if I'm in green and gray. If I'm in just gray, it's a battle winner for my defense. I'd probably go as high as a 3. If I am only in green, I'd probably give this card about a 2.5. The ability to generate a soul is really strong, but I don't always want to get rid of one of my heroes.
I'm giving it at least a 3, regardless. I mean, obviously, if I'm drafting it, I've probably got it gray or green. I don't know, I think the ability to generate a soul in booster draft is just so vital, and especially in those cases where, somebody just gave up a freebie, maybe it was their last one. Now it's your turn. Well, you know that you've got a pretty good shot of getting a freebie as well. They've exhausted all their defense, and they're not expecting to have to block again. Well, now you can generate a soul. Unless you've drafted very few heroes, which does happen. Sometimes the draft just doesn't work out and you end up with limited heroes. I'd be willing to put a couple of heroes maybe in my deck that I wouldn't necessarily deck just to be able to generate the soul. If I'm, you know, especially if I got the gray and the green going, you know, I'll put in a weak hero just to have enough heroes to sacrifice one. Because I know it is so often that booster draft comes down to when the souls pop out and being able to rescue every turn. Getting soul droughted one turn can often, you know, be the difference between first and second. Two turns, I know it's almost guaranteed you're not going to be in a great position to win. So I think just on the soul gen alone, it's at least a 3 if it fits in your deck.
Next up is a heretic, Philetus. Yeah, he was printed in Disciples. We reprinted him in the Persecuted Church with the correct numbers, 5, 6. His numbers in the Disciples set were in error at 11, 4. I believe they got transferred over from the Goat with Horn. This 5/6 black and crimson heretic reads, X equals the number of good cards removed from the game. Note that he's also a Greek. It says, if blocking, search opponent's discard pile for any number of good cards and remove them from the game to protect up to X New Testament lost souls from rescue. Now, as we mentioned earlier, you can choose the souls that you put in your deck in booster draft. So you're going to be choosing New Testament souls. And as we mentioned several times, protecting souls can be really good because there's a lot of cards that can target them. This is just one example of how if you have cards in your discard pile, this guy is going to be an auto block against you. There's not a lot of ways to negate the evil character, especially after the ability is triggered. So he's a really solid block. He may only get you one block against a specific player, but he could get you blocks against multiple players if the game has gone long enough for them to have a discard pile. So I like this guy quite a bit as an evil character. I'm probably going to put him at about a 3.5.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also worth noting that you get to search your opponent's discard pile and remove any number of good cards. So if you have an opponent that's trying to do one of the recursion strategies that we talked about earlier, with either the Widow or the other guy, his ability to remove those cards and shut your opponent down from doing that is almost as good in my book as protecting the lost soul. It might not win you the battle that turn, but it's going to stop that opponent from potentially getting a soul down the road. So I think he's really good there. He's Greek, so he can turn on Antiochus. That's a little bit beneficial. You know, if for some reason you paired those two up. He's a heretic to turn on your own. CBN goodies from the Colossi Church, all around, very strong card.
Yeah, I like this guy a lot. I would probably, you know, 3, 3.5. I would probably, as far as if I decide to take a defensive card, he would be one of the first ones I would pick. I would probably pass even some weaker heroes that I think might come back around or that I don't really think I need to take him. You know, not obviously not going to take him over a battle winner or a strong hero, but you know, you do want a little bit of defense in booster. At least that's kind of been my philosophy. And he's a great chump block option. And then he also has the versatility with being dual brigades.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of recursion in play, both in early church and persecuted church. So the ability to kill that recursion could cost your opponent the game.
Next up, we have another evil character, Drusilla. She is a 3/6 gray gold bicolored evil character. She is royalty and has the Roman identifier. Special ability, if blocking, discard the top card of opponent's deck. Put a lost soul in play instead. You may withdraw a hero with a different testament than that card. So really, really good evil character here. If you've got any kind of gray or gold going with your draft, I'm definitely taking this evil character. Definitely on the stronger end of my evil characters that are going to be coming around. You have the potential for basically an auto block if it lines up right. You're discarding the top card of opponent's deck, limiting their options. You're potentially generating souls. All kinds of good stuff going on with this evil character. I'm going to give it a 3.5 and potentially even up to a 4 if I'm already in those brigades. But I might be able to put it in my deck, even if I wasn't in those brigades, as kind of a potential chump block, depending on how much defense I've drafted and how cohesive it is.
Definitely agree. In playtesting constructed, even with like thematic, I'm running a Disciples offense with a Pharisee's defense, you'd be amazed how often she actually triggers her ability gets a lot of blocks, and especially in a spread booster type environment, I can see her blocking the entire table all the way around.
Yeah, I agree with what these guys said. This is a really solid card that you probably want to take fairly early. The only thing you're going to take before that is a really solid hero or a battle winner for your heroes.
This is another gray gold card. This is an evil enhancement this time. Stormy Seas, 3/3 numbers. The ability is kind of long, kind of complicated. Stick with me. Discard a random card from each opponent's hand, or two if used by a Roman. Discard the top card of each opponent's deck, or top two if used by an Egyptian. Put Lost Souls in play instead. There's a lot of fun stuff going on. There's a lot of different civilization tie-ins. It's got sweet artwork. I love this card. As far as playability goes, I hesitate to say 3.5, but, you know, depending on your opponent's hand size, if you get to play it on a Roman, you could potentially turn it into a battle winner if you discard the right random card or two random cards. So it's got a lot of potential there. Plus, it's a multiplayer environment. You get to wipe out 6 cards from hand, plus 3 more off the top of deck, or 3 from hand and 6 from deck. It's very destructive. The only thing is, it's got big numbers. If you didn't get that battle winner, you're probably going to see it get negated, or they're going to win the battle, which is unfortunate. You never really want to be giving up souls. But just for its sheer table devastation, I give it a 3.
It's probably not likely to get negated in a draft. When we tested this and constructed, that was usually the outcome.
True.
It would get interrupted or negated because you were passing initiative if you didn't hit that card that you needed to stop them. But in a draft, the 3/3 numbers are pretty good, and they're probably not going to have an interrupt or negate to stop this. So what you get is it's gone for good. The fact that it hits all your opponents makes this really fun in multiplayer. It's a really fun card. It's not a card that I'm going to rank really highly to put in my deck. I'm probably going to give this one a 2. I would definitely include it if I'm in one of those brigades, especially if I have Egyptians or Romans, and I need those cards to get me up to 50. This is one I'm happy to include in my deck, though.
Yep, agree with Gabe on that. Like, I'm going to pick up this card, and this may be a card I would even say I'd be willing to take just so no one else gets it, even if I'm not in gold or gray. If I know that gold and gray has been drafted, it's one of those where if there's nothing better in the pack, I would be willing to spite draft that, as some people call it, just to make sure that it doesn't get used against me. But I think it's pretty easy to draft gray and gold. Those are pretty. There's a lot of those that end up getting drafted. So I can easily see myself being able to play that in my deck and use it.
Yeah, as we're going to see, there's plenty of gray in this set. Speaking of gray, the very next card is gray and black. It is Uproar in Jerusalem, and it has numbers of 2/1. It says, withdraw a hero. If a warrior-class Roman is in play, you may capture the hero instead. I like the versatility of this card more for constructive than for a draft. Most of the time in a draft, I'm going to want to withdraw that hero. I don't want another soul in my land of bondage.
I mean, it's worth noting that it's a May, so you can just withdraw the hero and have it just be a straight battle winner.
Absolutely. Now, there are times in a booster draft where I have some solid defense and I really want to hurt one of the players. You know, maybe I have the Stormy Seas or whatever. And so there's a card that I really want to play against somebody, but I don't have the souls and they're not coming after me. I might use the capture in those situations to ensure that I have something for them to rescue.
Yeah, and there's also, as we've seen before, there are some cards in this set that either benefit or can manipulate captured characters, you know, with some of the sites and whatnot. So there's some...
And some of the rare fortresses, too.
Yep, some of the situations you might want to capture the hero, but most of the time, yeah, you're just going to withdraw. I give it maybe a 2.5, a 3 if I'm in those brigades. It's going to be a battle winner. It's going to be a card I'm going to take if I've got any kind of black or gray going on for my defense.
Yeah, I guess I did forget to rate that. I'd probably give it a 2.5 as well. Yep. Generally, evil battle winners I would put around a 2.5 just because I don't value them as high as the offensive battle winners.
Totally agree. Yep, 2.5 in my book.
Next up, we have a card, kind of an outlier in this set. This is a non-New Testament card, evil character King Ahaziah. He is a 2/2 brown evil character. He's warrior class. We wanted to do with a few of these cards, give some other brigades a little bit of a boost. So this is an example of one of those. He's obviously not from the New Testament or anything like that. He is a king of Israel. He has an X. X is equal to the number of your Samaria sites. So obviously working with the gates of Samaria, kings of Israel strategy. His special ability, if blocking, you may discard a good enhancement and search deck or discard pile for a card depicting an idol. Remove up to X cards and a discard pile from the game. This is a pretty good evil character for Constructed. In Booster, you're probably not going to end up with maybe more than one Samaria site. Obviously, the Samaria site's coming from the Priest Packs. If you're, if blocking, you may discard a good enhancement. You're probably not going to be able to trigger that. Maybe you could get a weapon off of a hero.
Or a placed armor.
Placed armor, something like that.
There's some fruits in the early church packs you might want to discard too.
Yeah,
so but not a lot.
Yeah, it's very situational, and the low numbers, unless you picked up a lot of brown battle winners, which there are.
Haman's Plot,
Dungeon of Malkiah. John mentioned Scattered earlier. I don't know. Most of the time, I look for a little bit bigger evil characters for my defense, just to hope that. If someone's trying to bluff me, I can just block without using enhancements. I'm going to give this guy a 2.5.
Yeah, I'd probably rate him a little bit lower, maybe around a 2. One other situation I can see myself wanting to play this guy is, as John mentioned earlier, Household Idols.
Yep,
he
absolutely.
For it. He recurs it. If I have Household Idols and that's something I want to keep active because I'm not doing a lot of banding, then this guy is something I can probably pick up fairly late, and he's going to be really strong combo with that card.
Yep, it's one of those cards that I probably don't draft him, even if I am going for that idol strategy. But that's more because nobody else on the table is going to draft him either. So I'll let him pass around the table, and I'll take him at the end, or close to the end, and be happy that I did so.
Yep, absolutely.
Next up, we have another one of those outlier cards. He is another King of Israel that deals with Samaria sites. He is King Jeroboam II. He is warrior class, and he has 4/5 for his numbers. His ability, you may draw X with a limit of 3. Search discard pile for a Samaria site. Negate and discard a single color site, or take a Damascus site. It is worth noting that the way that we structure abilities in Redemption, you get to pick one of these. You can't do all of them or two of them. The or applies retroactively to everything. You get to pick one, which limits him a little bit, especially on the draw portion where the X means Samaria site's not getting a lot of draw. The search and discard for Samaria site, not going to be super useful. Negating and discarding a single color site, potentially useful if the player to your left has something locked in a site you can't get to. You could do something along those lines, negate it and get yourself some access, or steal a Damascus site. Just not a lot of usefulness going on in his abilities. The only one that I see really doing anything for you is the negate. I'm going to go ahead and rank him 1. He's an evil character. He's not in a great brigade based upon, drafting 3 or 4 boxes. Typically, you're looking more gray, black, crimson. So I'm going to go ahead and give him 1.
Yeah, I might give him 1.5. I like his ability to get me site access or get rid of a site that's been keeping me from rescuing a soul. Apart from that, he's not that strong. If I'm in brown, I'm not sad to take him really late because he's another evil character, but probably not going to play this guy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm only taking him if I've been solidly established in brown or if there are just a bunch of useless cards left in the pack.
Or if by some miracle in Priest I drafted 4 Samaria sites because I was an idiot in that pack, I guess. I don't know. If somehow I ended up with a bunch of Samaria sites, maybe I take him.
Next, we have another heretic. This one is called Defrauders. It is crimson. Has numbers of 8, 10. It's generic, and it's also a prophet. I don't think there's anything that's going to make that matter, but it's good to know. says, if blocking, you may exchange an evil card in hand with an evil enhancement with a convert ability in discard pile, may band to a demon. The part I really like here is the may band to a demon. There's probably going to be a demon on the table. I may have even drafted a couple. That banding ability with really big numbers is pretty strong for blocking. And unless they have a battle winner, that alone is often going to be enough to stop them from getting that lost soul from you. If you were lucky enough to draft evil enhancement with a convert ability, gold shield, as John cleverly taught us when testing. And also, there is one in the early church. I remember the name of that.
Leading Others Astray.
Leading Others Astray. If you've gotten that one, this guy becomes really strong. If you have either of those, I'm probably going to give this guy a 3.5. Otherwise, I think it's still a really solid blocker, and I'm probably going to give him a 3.
I agree. Definitely a 3, that banning ability. There's plenty of demons out there. Somebody on the table is probably going to have one, especially with Angel Wars. Angel Wars is all demons. You're going to see your panic demons and your obsidian minions bouncing around. You're going to have a banned target. It's just that simple. Then, you know, the icing on the cake, if you did happen to pick up a gold shield or Leading Others Astray. Or,
yeah, I like this evil character. I can see myself putting this in my deck, even if I don't have other Crimson, just as a standalone splash evil character.
8-10, can't argue with that.
8-10 with the potential to ban. That's going to take a lot to overcome from a rescue attempt. So unless I'm really concentrated in a different brigade where I've just got a crazy good defense in some other brigade, I'm definitely going to not be disappointed to pick this up, you know, middle of the draft, you know, probably the top of my evil characters that I'm going to want to draft and then put it in my deck regardless of if I have Crimson support or not.
Yeah, I might even look to take this guy pretty early in the second round.
Next up, we have another Crimson evil character, Doomed Conspirators. This is a 4/4 Crimson evil character, a generic evil character, and it also has the mob identifier. If blocking, search deck for a curse. If a missionary is defeated, shuffle any number of lost souls. Otherwise, discard this evil character after battle. May ban to a mob. So this is a fun one. Definitely an interesting one to use, you know, in Constructed. In terms of booster, if you did happen to draft a curse, especially one that fits in your defense, that could be helpful. The missionary being defeated, that's almost as conditional as you can get in terms of an ability. And normally you don't want to shuffle souls unless they're your own. You usually want to leave most of the souls on the table so that you have the potential to get them. And then if you don't defeat the missionary, you discard the evil character after one block. The may ban to a mob. Yeah, there might be some angry mobs floating around drafting with early church. You could get an angry mob from apostles. Those often appear in treasures or disciple packs. Overall, I'm not going to be terribly excited if I end up with this evil character. I'm going to give it a 2, maybe 2.5 if I happen to have a little bit of Crimson working already.
Yeah, I agree with the 2. If I have a curse that I want to search for, or if I'm already in Crimson, I'm more likely to play with him, but probably not going to make the cut most of the time.
No, yeah, I'm definitely, I'll go all the way down to 1. Even if I do have a curse, I mean, the curses that you can draft aren't that amazing. I mean, we're looking at things like Unknown Nation, that's probably the top of the list. Maybe, you know, Covenant with Death, if it popped up and, you know, the early church, since those have 10 cards in them, maybe that one. That's not enough for me. He's going to die after one block because chance of me defeating a missionary, not very good. Banning to a mob is cool, but I feel like those mobs tend to do more damage than they do benefit for me as a general rule. Maybe that's just my experience with them. I don't tend to be lucky.
That's because you tried to break Angry Mom.
And I should have, too. The rules were in my favor. I got ruled against. He's a 1. I'm not going to draft him. If he comes to me, I'm probably not going to play him unless I need to add cards. This is another one that I don't know how to pronounce his name. On the evil character side, congratulations. We're going to go with Hermogenes.
Hermogenes. That's how I pronounce it in my head. Hermogenes.
I'll go with that.
Hermogenes. I want to put an N in front of the G when I say that. Maybe there's something weird from being from, you know, Pennsylvania. I don't know. Whatever. He's 3-3. He's crimson. He's a heretic. His ability: F blocking, protect a New Testament lost soul from rescue, or protect up to 3 New Testament lost souls from rescue if Philegius is in battle.
Phygellus.
Fine. Whatever. Dudes from the Bible whose names you cannot pronounce. This has been a seminar from John, Gabe, and Justin. You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and give him a 1. He's got pretty rough numbers for an evil character, and he only protects 1 New Testament lost soul. Yes, I can choose which lost souls I'm playing with. Yes, I can pick, you know, 7 New Testament ones. The chances of me only having 1 don't seem that great. The chances of me being able to protect 3 with that other dude in battle, I feel like just probably opens me up to getting things played against me. I don't think he's going to be a block that often, if at all. I'll give him a 1. You know, maybe I pick him up in the middle if I got the Colossi guys that need the heretic in play. Maybe I pick him up for that purpose. I'm not picking him up as a blocker.
I like him a little bit more. I think he's at least a 2. This is a guy, we kind of going all the way back to the very beginning, we talked about the sights. If I pick up this guy and I have a few sights, I feel like I would kind of use that as kind of a defensive strategy where I put, you know, 2 of my lost souls into sights, and then I've got the 3rd one sitting outside the sight, and all of a sudden the only one they have access to I can now protect. You know, I'm probably just going to let him die. This is going to be a chump block where I'm going to try and block the leader. You know, I give up a freebie to the players and, you know, not in the lead, and then block the leader. I like him. I think it's, you know, especially if I'm in crimson, that's all the better. I'll give him at least a 2, you know, even a little bit stronger if I happen to get a sight or 2 that can kind of help narrow my opponent's options as far as going after lost souls.
Yeah, I really just see this guy in the chump block, one-shot deal. I'm probably going to give him a 1.5. Here's his buddy, what did we say his name was?
Phygellus.
Phygellus is also 3-3, and he's a heretic. His identifier says X equals the number of heretics you control. It's going to be at least 1 when you have him. If you have some of the other guys in this set, you might have more. It says put up to X lost souls into your unoccupied sites. Limit 1 per site. Or remove up to X lost souls from sites. May ban 2 Hermogenes. Cannot be negated. Adding souls to sites, taking them out of sites, not that exciting in a draft. Probably a fun card for constructed. Lots of tricks you can do.
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. He's got a cool ability. He doesn't have a useful ability.
Not really in a draft. I might be able to use him, again, to just gain myself access to a site. If the guy that goes right before me is coming after me, I can kick somebody else's lost soul out of the site to guarantee myself access on my turn, using my defense for offense in that example. Abandoned to Hermogenes doesn't really give me great numbers. It's still just a 6-6, not very exciting. Protecting 3 lost souls in that scenario, but then that's using 2 of my evil characters to chump block. So I don't see this guy going in my deck. He's probably a 1.
Yeah, I think I'm only drafting him if I've also drafted Hermogenes earlier. If I draft Hermogenes, because I think that is a decent chump block option, and then later Phygellus comes around, I would consider taking Phygellus, you know, middle of the pack, but that's the only scenario. So yeah, definitely on the 1 to 1.5.
Yeah, I can see, and this would be really silly, but if you happen to have a few heretics in play, you could leave your souls out of sights and try to, you know, trick somebody into attacking you and get a chump block by sighting all of your souls into sites he doesn't have access for, you know, when the leader, you know, doesn't think you have anything. It's something like that, you know, pulling off a trick, if you will. But that's kind of a long shot situation. Definitely a 1 for me.
Next up, we have another Crimson Heretic, Deluders, a 2-4 evil character, generic heretic. Special Blade says, discard a good enhancement, negate banned abilities on good cards, withdraw all but 1 hero, cannot be prevented by a good card. This guy is definitely a step above the others. first off, discarding a good enhancement. Probably better in constructed, but also not a bad ability in booster draft. Negating banned abilities, that's where we see the real value of this guy. Not only negating the banned abilities, but then withdrawing all the one heroes. So if they happen to have a cannot be negated banned, which we saw there was potential for that earlier, you know, so they're banning can't be negated, well, you're still going to withdraw all but one hero. And this is all cannot be prevented by a good card. So I like this guy. His numbers aren't great. Probably going to need support for him. But if you happen to be, you know, getting Crimson, which there's a good amount of in early Church and Persecuted Church, I'd be willing to take this guy pretty early. I'm going to go 2.5 to a 3 even.
Yeah, I agree. He's right in that 2 range. Obviously, messing with your opponent's banding is really good. I just wish he had better numbers for that kind of stuff. He doesn't usually win the battle on his own, unless your opponent did something weird where they like went with the 3 musicians that we were talking about earlier, like Heman, Esaf, Ethan, whatever their names are. And you can leave like the 2-2-1 in battle or something. You know, then maybe. His ability is really good, but it still probably doesn't win the battle on its own.
Yeah, I agree with that. If I'm in Crimson, I'm happy to play this guy. I'd give him a 2.5.
The card is a 4-0 gold enhancement, Revolt. Special ability, interrupt the battle. Evil character may ban to any number of non-Roman evil characters. Set aside all characters in battle until you begin a rescue attempt. This is another one of those cards that seems really fun, seems really awesome. I really want to play it. And then I realized that potentially removing all of my opponent's evil characters is not actually what I want. I want to leave some blockers on the table so that my opponents can block other players. I do want to clear the way for myself. So, you know, potentially, you know, something goes some way where you can do something with that. It's much, much better in constructed. The other trick is those characters come back when you do make your rescue attempt, so you'd have to, you know whose evil characters are going where and pick the right opponent. So it seems good at first glance. It is a battle winner because it will set aside the heroes as well. I'll give it a 2. If I'm in the brigade, I'm definitely looking at it as a middle pick. I'm not taking it early by any means. And it's fun, but it doesn't have a lot beyond that for me.
Yeah, I do like the fact that you get to choose which evil characters you ban to. You don't have to pull them all in and leave everybody wide open to give away their souls, like an Authority of Christ type effect would.
I don't know. To me, this is not a card I'm looking to take early at all. The only way I can see myself taking it, if I've got gold and I know someone else is also picking up gold, but in that case, I really shouldn't be drafting gold anyway. Yeah, this is not the kind of battle winner that I'm looking for. If I end up with it and I've got some gold evil characters, I've got a small gold defense, I'm probably playing it just as the battle winner, like John said. But
all right, the next common we're going to look at is Claudius Lysias. He's a 7-7 Roman warrior class. He's a commander. His ability says, transfer a captured hero to opponent. If a character is discarded, capture it to opponent's land of bondage instead. May ban to a Roman soldier. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of his first two abilities in a draft because it sets up the potential to give my opponent souls to rescue instead of me. I don't really like to do that. You can use it to set up your own souls, but that's pretty situational. The last part of the ability I do like, may ban to a Roman soldier. There are a couple other Roman soldiers in this set, and I do like the ability to ban to those. I would probably give this guy about a 2.5.
I'm right there also. The ban is nice. It's worth noting that the transfer of captured hero is not optional, So that is going to probably mess you up a little bit if you do have captured heroes. It can be very useful, depending on when the blocking order is happening. If the player to your right is the one attacking you, then you're definitely going to set up something that you can potentially go after. So that's nice. But as a general rule, I do think that first ability is going to be more of a drawback than a benefit. And then obviously the character being discarded, I feel, is not good in booster. It's nice in constructed, booster is not what you want to be doing. So you're really looking at him for his band, which I feel is a decent enough ability. There are a number of Roman soldiers in this set, in early church. There's also a lot of more reprints from Apostles, which you can find obviously in the Apostles pack, and then in early church type stuff, so like four squads of four, either the gray beefy dude or the gold one. Those are both potential good options to ban to.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's worth this. I mean, if you're using gray, it's definitely going to be in your deck. I like that if you know, maybe if you're running really defense light and you want to generate a soul for yourself, you can just block with them, let them die, and he gets captured. So that's going to be a little bit situational. Obviously, you want to make sure that, you know, it's you're going to be taking in the next turn. You know, so sometimes you don't have a block. You know, you might as well set up a soul for yourself. So I do like that. 7/7 is fairly strong, especially with that band ability. I'd give him a 2.5. Next up, we have another Roman. This is a Roman centurion, Julius the Centurion. He is a 7/6 warrior class evil character. Obviously, he's gray, being Roman. His ability is negate characters except Romans. You may search deck for Alexandrian ship. Cannot be negated by a good card. Negate characters except Romans. That is definitely a strong ability. It's especially if you have any kind of banding, whether you pick up a mocking soldier from priests or, you know, Claudius Lysias that we just talked about. Again, banding is, you know, not only is it good for offense, it's also pretty strong on defense. Basically forcing your opponent to have a lot of numbers or multiple battle winners. And then obviously that cannot be negated by a good card. Just kind of little cherry on top there.
I totally agree. Negating characters and leaving your own Romans alone is A plus. Decent numbers. He can hold a weapon because he's a soldier. So yeah, he's a 2.5 in my book.
Yeah, the negating characters except Romans is a really strong ability. I really enjoy that in playtesting. It's going to be pretty good in draft where banding is going to be a strong ability. And I do like his interaction with the Roman spear as well. But I agree with the rating, probably 2.5.
Next up, we have another Roman centurion. This one is the Centurion at Jerusalem. He is also 7/6 warrior class. He is generic, so you can have a couple of these guys floating around potentially. His ability is also negating characters except Romans. And then he goes on to, you may transfer a captured character to a territory or exchange your lost soul with opponent's lost soul. Again, like we just said, negating characters, really good. That's a very strong ability. The transferring captured characters to a territory. Again, you could potentially set up a rescue for yourself. Exchanging lost souls, not very relevant in booster when most of what's on the table is going to be those generic non-special ability ones. You could potentially, you know, if you didn't draft any of those New Testament soul related things, you could play Old Testament souls and exchange one of your Old Testaments to an opponent that you know is playing those New Testament chump block type things. So he has some potential functionality there. But in general, I'd say you're really looking at him because he's a Roman soldier and you got somebody that can band to him. So I'm going to go ahead and give him a 2.
Yeah, this guy's very similar to the last guy, at least in the parts that matter. I would give him the same rating, about 2.5.
Yep, same for all the reasons that have been mentioned already.
Next, we have a gray enhancement. It is numbers of 2/2 called Arrest in Jerusalem. This enhancement says, regardless of protection, capture a hero. Pretty straightforward. It's a capture. It does have the nice ability to get around protection. It's a battle winner for your evil characters. That alone is going to put it at probably about a 2 for me in this case because of the capture. If I have some of this stuff that's going to transfer capture characters, I like it a little better. But it does have a liability tied to that in the sense that it is going to give me another soul to defend. I'm probably going to give it, I guess I would give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I think a pretty straightforward battle winner. No restrictions, no conditions. In fact, it has the regardless of protection. So I think it's better than your average battle winner. Definitely a 2.5, if not, you know, close to a 3, just doesn't have a human restriction, doesn't have a if used by restriction. I think that just makes it a really strong battle winner.
I definitely agree, especially when you consider earlier we were saying how there's so much capture out there, grabbing that protection is nice. How many times do you see somebody, you know, have that helmet down, have, you know, Josiah's Covenant, not Josiah's, what's the Covenant that protects from capture?
Covenant of Palestine.
Covenant of Palestine up, any of those things. Being able to get around that stuff, the regardless clause on there, is really, really nice.
All right, next up we have an interesting card. I think this one's going to be fun to see how people can use it. A dual alignment enhancement, red-gray, Roman citizenship. This is a territory class enhancement. Special ability says, if used by a Roman, place on your non-Roman New Testament human. Character is Roman. If character enters battle, each player must discard one from hand. In terms of booster draft, this is not terribly exciting. You know, unless you've just got a huge Roman defense that you want to make even better, I'm not seeing myself taking this. It's going to be a much more fun card to use in Constructed, but as far as booster draft, I'm probably giving this a one.
Yep, I'm giving it a one for booster.
I'm right there. Very fun card. Not enough, you know, damage, basically.
All right, well, this next card is an Orange Brigade Demon. It has numbers of 6-8, and it is called Pestering Spirit. It says, reveal the bottom card of deck. If it's evil, add it to hand. You may play Persistent Pestering. Cannot be prevented by a good card. Well, we already know you're not going to have Persistent Pestering in a booster draft because it comes in the sealed deck.
John didn't know that for what it's worth. He's going to say how cool that combo was.
Well, Persistent Pestering is a reprint from Angel Wars, but it's gray.
It's gray, yes.
So if you have a way to ban a gray demon to this demon, then you could potentially pull it off, but unlikely.
Highly unlikely. So probably the part that matters is revealing the bottom card of your deck. If it's evil, add it to hand. That is okay. 6-8 numbers, not bad. If you got some decent orange stuff in the priest pack, you're not going to be sad to get this evil character because you're probably going to get it late. And I wouldn't take it early. I would give this probably about a 1.5.
Yeah, I'm right there, 1.5. Maybe 2.5 if I've already picked up like deluders and I know I don't have any other demons. I grab this one. It's got great numbers. It's going to give you a huge band in that battle. But as far as on its own merits, it's not really a card I'm looking at.
It does work well. Knowing that we're drafting with Early Church, if you happen to get Fortress of Antonia, that's a great combo, great synergy there. That would definitely be a site that I would then play if I picked up an evil character like Pestering Spirit.
Yep.
Next up, we have another Orange Brigade generic demon, Rebellious Spirit. 5-5 numbers. Discard a good enhancement or underdeck a generic demon from discard pile or Tartarus. Cannot be prevented by a good card. It's okay. It's nothing fancy. The ability to recur a demon that was previously discarded is nice. It does underdeck it, so you're looking at not getting it until later unless you do happen to have something like Pestering Spirit that you can get it out your next block, something like that. So it's nice, but it's not doing anything terribly awesome to win me the battle, give me huge numbers, anything like that. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 1.5.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This just doesn't do that much for my defense, and I'm probably going to try not to play it unless I've gotten some really good orange enhancements to go with it.
Yep, I agree. This is totally dependent on what you've already drafted for orange, or if you've drafted something that can band to a demon, and it's your only demon option. You know, if you haven't drafted any demons, and then you pick up deluders or anything that bands to a demon, you just need to grab a demon to have one, but even then, you're probably going to see other people with demons in play. I'm probably not adding it unless I've got that orange support. Next up, we have an evil character from the Pale Green Brigade, a reprint of Wizard, 6-7, a generic magician. If blocking, you may exchange an evil card in hand with a Pale Green enhancement in discard pile. This is a really strong evil character. If you happen to draft a pale green battle winner or a pale green negate, you can pretty much turn any evil card in your deck into recurring that Battle Winner or Negate. I think this is a really strong character. It's probably not going to make me play into pale green, unless, you know, so hopefully I already am if I happen to come across this guy. But there's also going to be some nice pale green cards in this set. So if I see him early in the pack and there's not a lot of else going on in that pack, I wouldn't be afraid to take him and try to pick up some more pale green stuff. I give him probably a 3 for a rating.
Yeah, I'm right there at 2.5, 3. If I did pick up, you know, that Forgotten History or something like that, then he's super, super awesome. And I'm definitely taking him somewhat early. I'd say, you know, before a lot of other stuff. Obviously, Heroes and Battle Winners will still be above him, but not much beyond that if I know I have that, you know, bomb-type Battle Winner. It's worth noting he is a magician for charms. There's a lot of magicians in Treasure, so you should already have one. But if for whatever reason you picked up Magic Charms and you don't have your magician yet, you probably want to grab this guy.
Yeah, if I have charms and I haven't found a magician, I'm grabbing him pretty early. I do love his ability to recur, especially with some of the strong pale green battle winners that we have. I would agree with the rating of 3 on this one. Well, next we have a pale green enhancement called Crooked Waves. It is territory class, and it says, place on your magician. While all of your human evil characters are magicians, reveal all cards that your opponents draw. This is super annoying. Any of my opponents that I played in multiplayer absolutely hated this. It does require you to have a magician. A magician has to live, which means that you're not going to be doing a lot of blocking with them if you want to keep this active. But you do get to know everything that they draw, everything that they're doing. That's a really strong ability. That being said, I don't see this working very well in a booster draft. Probably going to give this a 1, maybe a 1.5 if I'm already in pale green and I have a magician or two to play it on. But I don't think this is going to make the cut for me most of the time.
It's worth noting that all of your human evil characters have to be magicians, and that's just not going to happen in booster. It's definitely a 1 for me. As my last card, I take it, and I might consider putting it in, but it'd really be a very filler card. I just don't see its ability activating very often. Also worth noting that it's a reveal, not a look, so everybody knows what everyone is doing at the table if you have this down. So for you, obviously, your opponents won't know what you're doing, but everyone will know what everyone else is doing. So I can't see myself playing this.
It's really hard to draft just magicians and demons.
Yep, I agree. You know, unless I have a very highly concentrated draft where I'm able to play, you know, 3 magicians and 2 demons, and that's all the evil characters I have, then maybe I consider putting this in. But at the same time, if that's the only evil characters I'm using, that probably means I've got a pretty good offense or a lot of good battle winners if I'm that concentrated. So this, again, the knowledge is power, but everyone's going to have that knowledge. So, again, kind of a gamble type card. Next up, we have another hero. This was a hero that was kind of added later on. That's why it's down here. 6/5 clay red Christian soldier, the male version. So yes, we have a female and a male version of Christian Soldier in the set. He's a 6/5, like I said, a warrior class, a generic hero. Similar ability to the female version. You may search deck for an Armor of God enhancement, cannot be interrupted. Pretty good hero. Again, his value increases a lot if you happen to get an Armor of God enhancement. You probably want one with the numbers for booster draft, but if you have one of the ones that offers protection, that's also going to be pretty strong. As a hero, he's already at least a 2. I might even bump him up to 2.5, and then if you happen to have against one of those Armor of God, maybe even a 3.
Yep, I'm right there at 3. You know, if he had better artwork, maybe it'd be a 4.
Yeah, this is an identical version of the female one. The only difference is that it's male, so I would go with the same rating.
The next card that we have is another card that we added onto the list late. If you notice, we've been pretty much, you know, neutral heroes, villains type setup. Now we're kind of getting back into things that we added on late in the playtesting process. So this is a dual alignment enhancement. Cast into Lion's Den, it is white and brown and has 3/3 for numbers. Its ability, capture a character in battle. If used by a Daniel hero or Persian, this ability gains regardless of protection. Very strong card if I'm in those brigades. If I'm in either white or brown, it's a 3. If I happen to by some miracle be in both, it's a 4. Otherwise, it's not something that's going to push me into those brigades. So it's more like a 2 then. So it's very situational, depending on what I've already drafted. If you can play it, it's really good. It's a battle winner on both sides. It does capture a character, so you're going to have something you have to defend. If you do happen to pair it up with a Daniel hero on offense somehow, or a Persian on defense, then it's obviously really, really good in those situations. Definitely a very strong card for me.
Yeah, there's some Daniel heroes in those early church card boxes. If you happen to hit that 10, that would make this a little higher pick in my book. But otherwise, I agree with the 3. So, or if I'm in brown and white, as John said, I would pick this much higher. But if I have one of those Daniel heroes, I would also probably take this fairly high.
Yep, I'm right there at the 3. Obviously, it depends on what you've been drafting, but... again, this is another one of those cards where even if I have been drafting white or brown, I'd be tempted to take it just to keep it away from others, and maybe I pick up a brown evil character. All right, next up we have the Maltese Viper. This is a 2/3 crimson evil character. This is an animal. Pretty cool artwork. We debated a lot of different pieces of art. Some seriously. Not as serious.
I was very serious about Dane's suggestion.
maybe we'll talk about some of those at some point. But the artwork is the original artwork from the card Viper Bite. So ability, decrease a hero in a territory 02. If this character blocked from hand, paralyze and poison a hero in a territory instead. Each upkeep, decrease at 02, cannot be negated. In terms of booster draft, this is probably not going to be terribly useful. This is definitely more of a constructed deck card where you can set things up, whereas in booster draft, you're probably going to have to use it as soon as you draw it just to make blocks. I'm going to give it a 1.5. Being an animal, that does have some benefit. You can't convert it. Only a 2/3. Unless I've drafted heavily into Crimson, I'm probably not going to pick this guy up.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Justin. Then the fact that it can't be converted and whatnot does come in a little handier. But with it being one of those sneaky little kind of guys, it's just not worth it for me.
I like his ability to take out the most problematic hero at the table by paralyzing them and slowly killing them. In the card boxes that we're going to be drafted at Nationals, I see a lot of cards like Christian Suing Another and Sarah's Jealousy. And those are cards that you can use as a battle winner fairly easily. They do take a little bit of planning, but this guy's going to give you initiative to play those. So if I'm in Crimson, I've seen some of those battle winners. I'm definitely happy to take this guy and put him in my deck, but I'm not going to take him very high. Probably put him at about a 2. All right, next up we have Jude. Jude is a clay hero. He was added to the list late, as all these last few commons that we're going to go over were. And he is a 2/5 Jerusalem hero. His ability says, under deck, a good Jude enhancement from discard pile. Once per game, you may choose a heretic to block. That's a really strong ability, being able to choose the character that blocks you. And also being able to choose which opponent is using that character. If I see Jude, I'm definitely going to try and get a heretic. If I already have a heretic, I'm going to take Jude really high. Yeah, possibly as a 5. Honestly, I think he's a card that I'm going to draft, and I'm going to try and get a heretic to go with them. As you've seen, we've had a lot of heretics in this set. There were heretics in previous sets. And just the fact that sending him out there, if I have just a little bit of backup for him, is going to get me a soul. And the opponent's not going to have any way to respond to that is really, really strong. Being able to underdeck good Jude enhancements, probably not going to see those again if that ability even takes effect. So that's not super strong, but I do like his Choose the Blocker ability.
Yeah, I'm not quite as high on him. He's definitely a 3.5-4 range. The fact that his numbers are pretty rough there, I can't think of one off the top of my head that you're just going to straight up kill by choosing. So the fact that it's going to take me an additional card to take out that heretic, I'm not overly thrilled with. But like Gabe said, manipulating who gets to block you is, especially in booster draft, is very strong. So definitely in that 3.5-4 range for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with John. I think the problem with choosing heretics to block is that a lot of them allow people to chump block without needing enhancements. So you can't really choose someone like Philetus because he's probably going to protect all of the souls anyway. So I think it becomes even a little bit harder to make him actually win you the battle because heretics have the soul manipulation abilities. But like Gabe said, choose the blocker, incredibly strong in booster draft, maybe one of the most powerful abilities. Yeah, so I think I'm in the 3.5-4 range with Jude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely doesn't put me in play necessarily, but I'm very happy to draft him if I'm already there.
All right, next up, speaking of Jude enhancements, we have a Jude enhancement. This is a clay silver good enhancement. The Lord rebuke you.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, so you got to say it with some power. The Lord rebuke you.
This is a clay silver battle winner. We've got withdraw all evil characters, top deck a hero from discard pile. Very strong card. Works in clay, works in silver.
Did you mention the numbers on that?
Yeah, 3-3. If I didn't, it's a 3-3. So you've got numbers there. Yeah, who needs numbers when you're withdrawing all evil characters? This is a card that's going to win battles and get back a hero. Hopefully you've gotten a clay or silver, at least one hero. If not, I'm still taking this card and then trying to pick up one of those brigades, hopefully later in the pack.
Yeah, this is a definite 4, almost 4.5. Two different brigades, both of which have a high saturation of characters with what we're going to be drafting. Even if I'm not in those brigades, I'm going to have a character. I will splash a character in that enhancement.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to draft this probably about a 3.5 or even a 4 for all the reasons these guys said.
Next up, we have Divide and Unify. It is a dual alignment enhancement. 6-1 numbers. It is Crimson and Clay. The special ability, negate opponent's banned abilities. Character may ban to a character from the same testament. It is a Jude enhancement. That's worth noting because of Jude that we talked about earlier. It's also an evil card, so you could potentially set up something where Jude underdecks it and then Pestering Spirit puts it back in your hand the next time you block. So it has some application there. However, in my mind, the ability isn't super amazing. It is banding, which is really good. You have to be in the same testament, so you have to be, you know, two clay or, you know, two Old Testament dudes, something like that. I guess it's clay, so you're in New Testament. So you have to have another, you know, New Testament guy floating around on offense. You can play it on defense to do some banding. The band, in my mind, isn't terribly difficult to pull off, but it's not the super broad open-ended either. So definitely a very good card. I'm going to say 2.5. Maybe 3, but definitely closer to 2.5 for me.
I like the fact that you can ban any character from the same testament, so you can grab your opponents. Humans can ban with angels. A lot of the banning cards we've seen in the past would let humans, like only humans, ban. So I do like the fact that you can grab some angels with this. And it does have a really high attack, and since a lot of times numbers are king in a limited format like this, that 6 attack alone might get you a soul sometimes. I'd probably give it a 3.
Yep, I'm in the 3 range. I think it's, you know, and again, with the amount of clay heroes that will likely be available, you know, if I can pick up a couple of them to go along with that. Now, there's a testament condition, but that's a pretty broad condition. There should be plenty of New Testament heroes in play to target. And if you can time it right, there, you know, could be some ones that are going to basically win you the battle if you play it right. So I'm definitely on board with the 3, maybe even a 3.5 if you happen to have some Crimson and some clay, which would be very easy to do with these packs.
All right, this is our last common. It is a Greek heretic, Hymenaeus. Is how I'm going to pronounce his name. He's a 7-8, And his ability says, search deck for a heretic. May ban to Philetus. Cannot be interrupted by a good card.
5, 6, 7, 8.
5, 6, 7, 8 are the numbers on those two guys. And the fact you can search one out, ban to his buddy, can't be interrupted by a good card. If you happen to get both of those guys, this is really, really strong. It is still just an evil character. It has decent numbers. Probably get you a block sometimes on his own. Pretty strong evil character. If I'm in black or crimson, especially if I've seen Philetus, I want to take this guy probably around the middle of the pack. But I'm probably going to give him 3 if I have Philetus. If I don't have Philetus, I'm going to drop him down to about a 2.
Completely agree.
Yep. No, he's pretty standard for an evil character. Not, you know, potential for some, you know, being able to block without support, but definitely in that 2 to 3 range, depending on what you've already got.
All right. Well, that concludes the common cards. Please make sure to join us for part 2, where we go through the rares and the ultra rares, and let you know what we think about drafting them.
This has been a Land of Redemption production, sponsored by 3 Lions Gaming.
Jude is a crimson hero.
Wow.
We're going to try again.
I really like that.
No, that's not the card we wanted.
I wanted to be same alignment. It already is same alignment because of the... Oh my gosh, is it 2 a.m. in the morning or what?
From the same...
It's just that story.
Did we put an exclamation point on that special ability?
Oh, boy.
Ignore me. Carry on.